We're going to begin with a video here, so if you want to find your seats and direct your attention to the screen in front of you. Thank you so much.
Lately, it seems that we're getting more and more confused about what a church actually is. So let's take some time to set the record straight. Church is not a building, though a building can be used by a church. Church is not a denomination, though a set of beliefs should be important to a church. Church is not about Sunday, though a church should not forsake meeting together. Church is not about one person or personality, though every church should be pastored. And church is not about size or growth, though every church is called to make disciples. So don't think of church as an address or a location, but rather think of church as mobile and on the move. Don't think of church as something built or planted, but rather think of church as something deployed. Don't think of church as where you are for an hour each week, but rather what you are every day of the week, because the church is the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Feet shouldn't sit still. Hands shouldn't be idle. Feet go. Hands do. This is the church. Church isn't what you're sitting through right now, because you are the church. Now go and be the church.
You guys that love that video, just want to just take this opportunity to say good morning and welcome to Journey Church. And if you're new here today in the building or online, I just want to take this opportunity to introduce myself. I'm Mike, and I have this wonderful, wonderful privilege of pastoring what I call this amazing church. Amen. We are so thankful for what God's doing right here at Journey Church in River Falls. But not only in River Falls, we're thankful for what God's doing in churches globally around the world. This is just an amazing opportunity as we go through this pandemic for the church to rise up, and God is doing some really, really cool things. And I also want to begin by saying you have chosen a great day to be at Journey Church. And there's two reasons why I say that this morning. Number one is because today, immediately following the service, here's the good news, guys, we're going to feed you, okay? And not only are we going to feed you, we're going to feed you good food, okay? And then there's one more thing to add to that. It's good free food, okay? And if you're anything like me, you have a core value in your life is this, that anytime you're offered free good food, you take it, okay? So let me ask, is there anybody else that has that same core value? Take good free food when you can. You just never know when you get it again. So you picked a great day to do that. And we're going to do that right behind the church today. We're kind of changing locations because there's a grass area back there. There's a swing set for the kids. And that's a great opportunity for parents to be able to keep their eyes on their kids and not be so separated from them. So that's why we've made the change. Also, number two, a great reason for you to be here this morning is because today we're actually beginning a brand new collection of talks. And the collection of talks that we're beginning today is, as we just go right here, boom, boom, everybody following with me. Our new collection of talks is called This is the Church. This is the Church. And we're going to be just talking about that for the next few weeks. So let's do this. Let's kick things off on this new collection of talks. Let's kick things off with a word of prayer. So if we can all bow our heads this morning, that would be wonderful. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for everyone that's here this morning, those who are watching online, not only today, but throughout the week, those in our backyard. Lord, we just ask, God, that your presence would be with us. You'd open up our minds and you'd open up our hearts today to receive from you and what you want to do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, as I just mentioned, today we're going to kick off this new collection of talks called This is the Church. And I want to let you know that I am just super duper excited about this new collection of talks, okay? And you might be saying, well, isn't that the case about every collection of talks, Mike, that you're excited about? Well, I'm excited about them all, but I'm super duper excited about this collection of talks. And you say, Mike, why are you super duper excited about this collection of talks? Here's why. Because I believe with all my heart, and this doesn't originate with me, but I jump onto this statement, and I believe this, that the local church is the hope of the world. I believe that with all my heart. With all that's going on in our world and all the uncertainty that's going on, I want to let you know, I believe it's the local church that provides the hope that people are looking for. And I believe that hope has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? And I love that because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So here's what we're going to do as we move forward. We're not going to rush through this. We're not going to run through this series. Actually, we're going to walk through this series. We're going to kind of slow down the pace. And there's actually going to be times that we even stop walking and we stop and smell the roses, okay? So we're just going to just see where this goes. I'm not sure how many weeks we're going to be talking about the church, but the Lord has deposited some thoughts on my heart that I want to encourage you, even if you can't make it to this physical location, make sure you take the time to watch the messages online, because there's some things that I believe that God has laid on my heart concerning the church. And I don't want you to miss a single message, because I think each and every message is going to be super important to where we're at today. So please do that with me, okay? So we're going to have a great time. So we're just going to walk. We might pause. We might just say, hey, we're going to look and see what this means. We're going to go into it in greater detail. So here's what I want to do this morning as we begin this this talk on the church. Is I want to take you back in Scripture. So if you have a Bible, this is what I want you to do. I want you to turn to the book of Matthew. So if you have your Bible close by, you can open to Matthew chapter 16. If you don't have a Bible, that's totally all right. I'll provide all the Scriptures for you right here on the screen. And today we're going to look at a portion of Scripture where we're actually introduced for the very first time in the Bible the word church. And you're like, wow, I didn't know there. Yeah, this is going to be the first place that we see in Scripture that the word church is used. So Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to look at six verses, verses 13 through 18. So if you're ready to go, say, I'm ready. I'm ready. Okay, here we go. Pick it up in verse 13. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, and here's what we're going to have. We're going to have a pop quiz. How many people remember high school or college when your professor would get up and say, hey, today we're going to have a pop quiz? How many people didn't like that feeling at all? It was like, oh, no, don't do this to me, okay? Well, here's what Jesus is going to do with his disciples is he's going to give them a pop quiz, and it's a pop quiz that only has two questions. And here's what Jesus did. He says he asked his disciples this question. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? He's saying, who do people say that I am? Verse 14, well, they replied, some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah. And others would go as far as saying you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then here's the second question on the pop quiz. It gets a lot more personal. And it says, then Jesus asked them, but who do you say that I am? So now he's talking specifically to the disciples, and we're not sure how long the disciples had been with them thus far, but I'm pretty sure that they had seen the miracles, they've heard the teachings, they've been hanging out with Jesus 24 hours a day, and he says, who do you say that I am? Verse 16, then Simon Peter. How many people know Simon Peter never had a problem opening his mouth? And a lot of times, meaning he put his foot in his mouth. He would think before speaking, but this is certainly not one of those cases. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Messiah. That means you are the anointed one, the chosen one, the Son of the living God. And I love Jesus' reply in verse 17. It says, Jesus replied, he says this to Simon, he says, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, and here's why you're blessed, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. He's saying, hey, Peter, you didn't figure this out on your own. Nobody told you. The only reason you were able to answer correctly is because God gave you this great revelation. May I take a moment to just say this, folks, we need to be praying that for our friends, amen, and our families that are far away from Jesus, that the Holy Spirit would reveal to them who Jesus is. And then I love verse 18. That's our go-to verse for this whole series, verse 18. Jesus says, now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. How many people know Dwayne Johnson isn't the Rock? How many people know Peter was the original Rock, okay? He says, you are Peter, and upon this rock, look at it, don't miss it here. He says, I will build my church. And we're going to look at that. I will build my church, and check out this promise about the church. And all the powers of hell will not conquer it. So right here in verse 18, we see the very first mention in the scriptures of the word church. Jesus is introducing us to this thought of the church. And then throughout the rest of the New Testament, this word would be used about 79 to 80 times in the remainder of the New Testament. Church, church, church. And here's the cool thing. Jesus here makes the promise. And he makes this promise to Peter and the disciples. He says, guys, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to build the church. And not only that, guys, I'm going to let you know that there's no power of hell that's ever going to come against the church. I want to let you know, even during this pandemic, the church is going forward. Amen? The church is going forward with power. We're believing God's doing great things. We're seeing God do great things because there's no power that will conquer the church. So what I want to do for the next few minutes is I just want to take a closer look so we're all caught up to speed. We're all educated and aware of what this church, this word church really means, okay? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do something kind of out of the ordinary, and I know I'm kind of taking a risk by doing this. And if you're visiting today, don't worry. Just sit back, relax. And this is what I want us to do for the next 60 seconds, and I'll let you know when that begins. I want you, with somebody you're sitting next to this morning, I want you to discuss this question, and that is, what is it that comes to your mind when you hear the word church? So Chris, if you'll get our 60-second clock ready. So look around saying, okay, I can talk to that person. They're all right. They look safe. I just want you to discuss, Chris, let's start the countdown clock now. What comes to your mind when you hear the word church? Everybody, even if you can't discuss, at least write something down on a piece of paper. Let's go for it. Be really honest. What is the first thing that comes to your mind? Seconds. You got 10 seconds, guys, gals. Okay, well, thank you, thank you, thank you for discussing. How many people said that was the longest minute of the week? Oh, my goodness, do they do that every week? The answer is no. I just wanted to make sure. I just want people to have dialogue in our services. What does the word church mean? Let me just assume that these were some of the answers, some of the things that people talked about when you hear the word church. What do you think about? Don't raise your hands, but did you think of the word building? Church is a building. Maybe the word denomination came to your mind. Lutheran, Assembly of God, Methodist, Presbyterian. Maybe a denomination came to my mind. Maybe when you heard the word church, you said, hey, yeah, that's a place that I go to. I go to church. That's a place that I go to. Or maybe you use some adjectives, okay? Hopefully you didn't use this word, the word boring, because that's not happening here today. A bit boring. Maybe you, you said it's not relevant, non-relevant to where we live today. Maybe you thought the word that the church is out of date. Some people say, well, the church sure is, it seems like they're a lot about money. They're money focused. Or just a couple more, maybe the word political. They said, yeah, the church has a political platform. Or maybe you even said, yeah, the church is a social club. So those are just some of the ideas of some of the way people think, not only in this room, but people around the world. When they say the word church, what comes to their minds? There's all these different ideas. And some are right on, and there's some that are just way out there in left field. So what I want to do in the time that we have remaining this morning, I want to keep it simple, simple, simple. And I'm not going to throw a whole bunch of information out there because I want you to leave with one concrete thought. So what I want to do for the next few minutes is I simply want to define what that word church means from a biblical perspective, okay? So we're not looking at it from the perspective of man, but we're going to look at it from the perspective of the scripture, okay? And I want to let you know when Jesus uses the word church in this text that we just looked at this morning, in many of the references of the word church later on throughout the rest of the New Testament, is he's using this Greek word, and there's the Greek word on the screen that Jesus is using. That's the word in the Greek, the original meaning. So here's what I usually do in preparation for a message is I take time to just do a lot of reading, a lot of study, and I just kind of just devote myself to reading. There was a guy I ran into this week in the coffee shop, surprise, surprise, and he said, how many hours you take a week on a sermon? And I said, probably about 20 hours a week at least, just kind of preparing, and a lot of it is just a lot of research. And so what I did is I began to research this word church, 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 and I just went to a lot of different sources. And what I did, for your sake, is I took all that research and I boiled down my definition with their help of the word church taken from Scripture. And this is what I've come up with for the word church. What does it mean according to Scripture? And that is that the church is a group of people. It's a group of people who have been called out and called together for a purpose. And that purpose is to follow Jesus, okay? Let me read that one more time. Follow along. That's really the foundation of where we're going for the weeks ahead. So let that kind of begin to get inside your heart. The church is a group of people who have been called out and called together for the purpose, and that is to follow Jesus. So as you can see there in that definition, I underline four different parts of that definition. And what I want to do for the next few minutes is just simply take each one of those and go into a little more depth about what I mean by that. So let's begin by looking at four things that are a part of that definition. Number one, we need to understand this from that definition, that the church has little to do with a building. The church has little to do with a building, okay? We need to make sure that we understand that. But the church has everything to do with, does anybody want to take a guess? People. So it has little to do with a building, and it has everything to do with people. But I do want to make this disclaimer right off the bat and say this. Don't get me wrong. Buildings are nice. Buildings are nice to have, okay? Especially as we get colder. It's nice to be able to come into a building. But building is basically just this gathering place where the church, where the people come. The church itself isn't, the building itself isn't the church. It's the people that come into the building. So it's nice that we have a building. I'm super thankful for that. And it's also, I believe, nice and important that we keep our building updated and we maintain our building. I think it's very important that we're good stewards of the building that God has given us. I love what one pastor said. He said these words, listen carefully. He said, even though God doesn't look at the outward appearance, he looks at the heart. And that comes right from Scripture. That comes when in the First Samuel about David, that God doesn't look at the outward, but he looks at the heart. But how many people know that's not the case with a lot of people? The case with a lot of people is, yeah, the outward, yes, is very important. I think, and I say this because I think the physical condition, appearance of our building is important. Even though it's not the church, we want to make sure that we're taking care of being good stewards with what God has given us. That's why I love during this COVID season, we just crushed it. We used those first, 13 weeks, and we totally renovated our sanctuary. And we just did a whole bunch of renovations, and we spent money. It was a lot of fun, okay? And why? Because we want people to be able to come into a building where we gather and be comfortable. And I want to let you know, we just had a board meeting this week, and we're thinking of more ways that we can make sure we're taking care of our building, taking care of the flooding, that there's no water coming into the basement, taking care of the parking lot, taking care of things that people will see. But I just want to let you know, the building is important. But I want to let you know, we got to make sure that we do our very, very, very best, that we never make the building the top priority. Does everybody hear me? But we need to understand that at Journey Church, in churches all around the world, the top priority of church is the people. It's the people, because people are what the church is all about. And that's why at Journey Church, when we got together and we started to put together some of our values, we came up with like seven different values. And one of the values we came up with is this value of people. And this is what we say about people. We say that every person has a name. I mean, I know you were given a name before your mother took you home from the hospital. She gave you a name. Aren't you thankful for that? And everybody said, no kidding, okay? But here's the cool. Every one of those names has a story. I mean, my story is like 56 years in the making now. We got people in the room, or at least downstairs, their story is only like 8 years in the making. We have people, their story is like 22 years in the making. All of us have a story. And here's the cool thing about the story, and I want just to grip your heart this morning, is this, that every story, every person matters to God. Every person in their story matters to God. And I love that. And since that's the case with God, that's the case with Journey Church. And every time I read this definition, God continues just to convict me and say, Mike, it's not the building. It is all about the church. It's all about people. So church is not a building. The church is a people. Has everybody got that in your mind now? So it's not about a building. We're thankful for the building, but the building is simply just a place for the people to gather. Let's move on to thought number two, and that is this group of people who are the church. Here's one thing about them. They've been called out by God. They've been called out by God. So what has God called those who are the church out of? And here's the cool thing. Peter, who made that profession when Jesus asked him the question, later writes a letter that goes by the name of Peter, creative, right? And he says this about the church. He says in 1 Peter 2:9, it says this about the church, about the people. It says, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest. You are a holy nation. You are God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. And check this out, gang. Don't miss this. For he has called you out of what? Darkness. God has called us out of what? He's called us out of darkness, and he's called us into his wonderful light. So here's what happened. God has called you, called the people who make up the church. He's called them out of darkness. So there's this big group, and God said, I'm calling you out of darkness. What does that mean, called out of darkness? Here's what it means. That is a reference to the morally evil system that is under the influence of Satan. And it's opposed to God and his kingdom on earth. And here's the thing about the people who make up the church. God has called us out. He's saying, hey, I want you to come out of that morally evil system that's influenced by Satan. It's opposed to God and to his kingdom. He's saying, I'm calling you out. And I want to let you know, I believe God's still calling people out. And here's the deal. We have a choice. Will we listen to the voice of God who's calling us out? Will we listen when he says, I want to call you out, not to be like the world. I want to call you out to be a part of this wonderful light. So that's number two, what we see in our definition. Number three is this, is that this group of people who are called the church, who are called the church, have not only been called out, but here's what I really want to anchor in on this morning. They have been called together. They have been called to join together. And I want to say this to everyone in the room, everyone online this morning. I want to just make sure this is the biggest point of my message from my heart. And that is, friends, we need to always remember. We need to always remember the importance of gathering together with other people who have been called out. The gathering together It's super, super important that we're coming together with other people who have been called out of darkness by God. We are coming together and we are called to meet together. I love what it says in Hebrews. Hebrews 10:25, the writer of Hebrews says this, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but let us encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing closer. We need to make sure that we're not saying, hey, I'm just going to distance myself from everybody else. Church isn't going to be a part of my life. I'm not worried about the gathering. I can do this on my own. I want to just say today, church people, we need to make sure that we're always meeting together. And I want to be very, very sensitive to you right now and say this. I realize this with all my heart. I realize there's some people right now who are not comfortable coming into a building that's filled with people. I want to let you know that I am supportive of you. I realize there's some people that probably should not be coming together in a physical gathering inside of a building. But I want to let you know, and I want to speak to those people and to all of us, and that is, I really want to encourage you that you still need at least one or two or three other people that you regularly come together with those people. Maybe you say, I'm not going to go into a room. Awesome. You come back when you're ready. But I want to encourage you, as you're away from the building, make sure you're at least connecting with other people who have been called out of the darkness and have this relationship with Christ. Make sure that, hey, it might be one other person in your life. And maybe you're not going to come into a building. You can have church on a walk. As you just walk together, just take a walk or just gather and put your chairs in somebody's driveway. But I'm just very concerned that some people have totally just disconnected themselves from other believers. And I just want to say, make sure that even though you're not coming in the building, you're connecting some way or another with other believers. It was so cool this last Thursday night. People that didn't feel comfortable coming into our building. There was a group of like 55 college students gathered in the backyard of our church they were gathering with other people who had been called out. And I just think it's time for us to be creative. I think COVID has been a blessing in a lot of ways to the church to wake up and say, hey, don't fall in love with your buildings, but fall in love with the body of Christ. Fall in love with hanging out with people who have been called out. Because it's in our gathering together that we fulfill what is called these one another's that are found in Scripture. Let me explain what I mean. In Scripture, we're giving dozens and dozens of one another's of what people who have been called out should be doing together. Let's just look at about six or seven of them real quick. We're called to love one another. I want to let you know, I don't really think you can love one another by yourself. And that's mentioned over 16 times in the New Testament. We got to love one another. Here's some other ones. Number two, we're called to build one another up. Man, if there's a day and age that we need that more than any time, it's right now. There's so much uncertainty, there's fear, there's hatred, and we need to build one another up. You need other people you're gathering with to build one another up. Here's another one. Bear one another's burdens. God never intended for you to have a burden where you carry it by yourself, but we need this gathering. You need one or two other people that you can bear the burdens that are in your life. Here's another one, teach one another. Here's another one right from our text today, encourage one another. Here's another thing you can't do alone, pray for one another. We need to pray for one another. It was so cool on a walk last week when Heather and I just started our walk last Sunday after church, we ran into another person who has been called out of the darkness. And we stopped and we began to talk, and she began to share some of the things that are going on in her life that are heavy. So what did we do? Right there on the sidewalk, we had church. Because how many people know church can be where two or three are gathered together? Amen? And it's right there. We didn't pray in a building, but we prayed on a sidewalk. That's where we had church. And see, church should be happening all the time. And my thought, gang, is this, and I want to be so sincere to you today. What would happen if church buildings could never open again? What would happen if church buildings could never open again? How would you do in your faith? Do you have people that you can have church with outside of the building? Let me look at a couple one another's, and that is the last one is that we need to confess. We need to confess our faults to one another. Because it's in our confessing of our faults that we're not forgiven. Jesus forgives us. But it's in the confessing of our faults that we find freedom. And I just want to let you know, you got to have other believers who have been called out where you're gathering together. If you never come back in this building, you need to have people that you're gathering together, people who have been called out and you're on this journey together. Let's look at the fourth part of the definition and we'll wrap this up. Number four, this group of people have the same purpose. These called out people have the same purpose. And that purpose is we're following Jesus together. We're on this journey that it's not one and done, but it's on this journey. We're continually following Jesus. We're not following the opinions, our culture. We're not following a political party or platform. We are people who have been called out, called together, and our whole purpose is, hey guys, we have this one thing in common, and that one thing in common is that we are following Jesus, and in our following of Jesus, we're becoming the hands, we're becoming the feet of Jesus to reach a world that's still in spiritual darkness. We want to reach them so that they can experience this marvelous light. So let's wrap this up again. Let's look at the definition of church. The church is a group of people who have been called out of darkness into the light, have been called together. We should be meeting together continuously, and we're meeting together for the purpose that we want to follow Jesus. So we're not going to take big pieces, big bites today. I just want to simply plant that seed of that's what the church is all about. So all those other things you may hear that may bring confusion of what church is, that's what it is right there. People who have been called out, called together, they're following Jesus. They're on this Jesus journey together. And there may be times that God uses a building for you to gather. There may be times where you just gather in your home. That's what happened most of the time in the New Testament. People came into homes. There wasn't buildings yet. There was the synagogue, but there wasn't buildings till the second, third century. But the church was even growing stronger because it's just these people that they're on a mission together. So let me ask you a question in closing today, and that is, are you a part of the church? I'm not saying, are you a part of Journey Church? I'm not saying, are you a part of the Catholic Church or the Assemblies of God, or are you a part of the Lutheran Church, but are you a part of the church? Are you one of these people who have been called out of the darkness into the light? And I want to let you know, if you haven't, it's really simple to become a part of the church, and that is by doing these three things. Number one, we just simply begin by saying, I'm sorry. And I know for me, sorry is another word for repentance, where we just say, Lord, I'm sorry for the wrong that I've done. I'm sorry for the sin in my life. I'm sorry that I went my own way and did it against your way. Lord, I'm sorry. And then the second thing we need to do is simply say, Lord, thank you. And what we do is we're thanking the Lord for his work on the cross. We're thanking him for his sacrifice. It says in the Bible that his blood was poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. And we just say, thank you, Jesus, for your work on the cross. Thank you that you did for me what I could never do for myself. Thank you, Jesus, that I can have peace with God, not by my works, but by what you did, Jesus. And I say, thank you. And number three, I say, please, Lord, please come into my life. Please come into my life, Jesus. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Be everything to me. And really, that's my heart today, is just to share with you guys that we're going to talk about church. We're going to drill deeper in the weeks ahead. But today is simply saying this. Are you a part of the church? Are you part of the church? Not are you a member of Journey Church? Are you a part of this global church? People who have made Jesus the Lord of their life, the Savior of their life. Amen. So, Lord, I just come to you in prayer this morning. And Lord, I just thank you for the church. I just thank you, Lord, for the group of people around the world today, billions of people who have been called out and are called to gather together. And Lord, we do it for one purpose, and that is that we're going to do this together. We're going to do life together. We're going to follow Jesus together. And we need each other to encourage one another, build one another up, help one another. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, the Journey Church would simply be a place, a physical place where people can come, believers can come and gather together. And Lord, as we gather together, we build one another up. We support one another. We pray for one another. We even confess our shortcomings to one another. We are people that aren't doing life alone, but we are people who are doing life together with other people who have been called out. And we're doing it all for your glory, Lord Jesus. And we just thank you and praise you. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being part to being, we are the church. We just thank you for that today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone together said,